Welcome to the Chris Saylor Show. I'm Jerry Price. I'm here with Princeton women's lacrosse coach Chris Saylor. And Chris, welcome.
Thanks, Jerry. It's good to be back. Always exciting to start another school year.
So with the school year on the horizon and with the summer just about over, I thought it was a good time for us to chat. Does the new school year still get you as excited as always?
Yeah, it's, you know, I guess it's crazy after all these years, but, you know, ever since you started kindergarten, the fall is always exciting. And even now, coaching all these years later, I feel like the September brings about the start of a new year rather than January. And, you know, you just get excited for the new group coming in, new leadership within your senior class, you know, new kids coming in as freshmen, and every team has a different personality, so it's exciting to start getting going with them.
So let's go back to, you know, you and I haven't spoken since the end of, you know, maybe the beginning of the summer, the end of the spring, whatever it was, as your team you know, had a really good run last year, Ivy League championship, Ivy League tournament championship, lost to Boston College in the NCAA tournament. Boston College got to the final game, and according to, you know, a lot of people, maybe the favorite to win it all this year. But let's talk a little bit about what your summer is like. And one thing I would also say is, how has that changed since you've been a head coach at Princeton? Like, is your summer basically follow the same pattern that it's always followed, or has it evolved over time?
Well, it's evolved over time a little bit as the rules have changed and as recruiting tournaments have become, you know, bigger and bigger and really must attend events for coaches. I remember when I first started out coaching, did a lot more camps, and camps in those days were Sunday night through Friday afternoon. And you just don't see that anymore because the kids are playing for the club teams and playing on the weekends.
And that's where you found players?
Yeah, that's where we found a lot of players, at camps that I ran or camps that I worked at for other people. And you spent your summer doing primarily camps. And you still do camps. I mean, I did a number of camps this summer, but they're shorter camps. You know, our ones here at Princeton are three-day camps. I'll do some two-day camps or even one-day camps at other places.
So when did it change? Was there like one event that got it, the whole recruiting process, to change?
Yeah, it really was, actually. Kathy Samaras, the mother of Corey and Christy, Princeton players in the 90s, actually started it all with, I think at that time it was called either Quick Sticks or Starlight Express. And she created really the first recruiting tournament. She wanted to get exposure for some of the players down in the Annapolis area, and she created this event. It was on one field with like two teams, I think, the very first year. And then it grew and grew, and she ended up having big tournaments in the summer that a lot of college coaches went to. I mean, her tournaments were the tournaments to go to. And then it, you know, it's a business, right? And so other actors got into the field and started
offering. Oh, it's a business, all right.
Yeah, exactly. Started offering tournaments, and that's just become basically every weekend in June and July, you're on the road at those tournaments.
I mean, I've talked to Courtney a lot about this on her podcast, but, you know, for her, it's July sitting in gyms watching people play. I mean, you know, to be on fields from 8 a.m. to, you know, 10 p.m. or, you know, literally that long, you know, day after day, do you still love doing it? Do you still love the, you know, the evaluating process?
Well, I mean, it's a pretty nice way to make a living. I mean, watching lacrosse games, it's really not too bad in that regard. And, you know, I enjoy watching the games.
I think that would be my, like, if I was a lacrosse coach, I think that would be my favorite part. Like, just like trying to like sit there and find the person that the other people can't find.
Yeah. It's definitely, you know, it's a big part of the summer, and I enjoy recruiting. I mean, you can't really do this job if you don't enjoy recruiting. And I liked going to some different tournaments where you might see some new kids, because when you see the same kids over and over and over, you know, that can be a little repetitive. And so it's nice when you can see different teams, whether they're at the IWLCA tournaments that a lot of teams from different areas of the country come in for, or you go to a different area of the country to see a tournament and just get your eyes on some new and different players.
What's it like when you're sitting there and, you know, every coach you're competing with is sitting there, and you're friends, I'm assuming, with most of these people or a lot of these people, but you're also competitors. Is it a strange dynamic? Or?
It's not that strange, to be honest. I mean, if you're going to be all that competitive about it as you're watching games, you're going to have a pretty unhappy summer. So, you know, I think I like to be a little social at those events, but not overly social because you're there to watch. But it's fun to catch up with people. It's fun to talk to people that, you know, you really don't see that much during the year. And I kind of look forward to going to the tournaments because I know I'm going to be seeing my coaching colleagues. And that is part of the fun of it.
So a few things I just wanted to touch on. And let's start with Harvard hiring Devin Wills as their head coach, one of the top goalies that the U.S. has had in a while, and now she's a head coach. She had been at USC, and I was kind of wondering, like, when you play against teams or when you have players on your own team, do you think to yourself, I think she would make a good coach someday, or are you surprised sometimes when you see the ones who go into coaching and the ones who don't?
Not necessarily. I think it's nowadays. Many times your top players are going into coaching on the other teams that we play, or they're building their own brand and not really coaching college, but doing their camps and clinics and appearances and things like that. So as we talked about before, lacrosse is a business, and there's professions to be had and money to be made in the business. It didn't surprise me at all that Devin decided to become a coach, because you know she's a Laxrat, and most of us who get to this level and are coaching just love the game and love teaching.
You sound like, when I watch, I think to myself, you know, I think that kid would be a really good coach. And the one guy I always come back to is Brian Earl from the basketball team. Mm-hmm. I always thought he would be a good coach, and he got out of Princeton and he didn't go into coaching right away. And I was like, you know, you should be a coach. And now now he's the coach at Cornell, and he's done a good job up there so far. Your friends group has had some turnover in the leadership, and the friends group is a hugely important part of the program and does so much to support what you guys do. You want to talk a little bit about the changes that are going on there?
Yeah, well, we've had a change in the leadership on the women's side with Kim Simons-Tortolani, our captain of our 1994 championship team. It just so happens that this is the 25th anniversary of that seminal achievement for the program.
Did you think she was going to be a coach when you coached her? Or?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she had that personality, and you know, she was such a competitor and loved the games, and it did not surprise me at all that she went into coaching. But anyway, she's been our friends chair for a long time. And she called me up a couple weeks ago and said that she just thought it was probably time for her to step down and let somebody else take the reins. And, you know, Kim, she's just a phenomenal person. I think I said in the email that I sent out to the group, I don't know that there's anyone who's represented the brand better than Kim over the last 2.5 decades in terms of all that she's given and her leadership of the Friends Group, how eloquently she speaks to the value of the Princeton education and the Princeton lacrosse experience, and her, you know, just love of the program and willingness to stay connected and help in whatever way that she could.
And now taking over?
Yeah, taking over Lucy Small DeStefano from the great class of 1999. Lucy was a defender for us, and like him, an All-American. And Lucy played for the U.S. team for a number of years. And then she went to Wall Street, where she's just been a superstar up there. Like Kim, a mom of three kids, so she has a lot on her plate as well. But Lucy's someone who is always ready to help. Whenever I ask her for anything, she's there to help and to step up. And she's not shy at all about reaching out. She already brought on one other person to the Friends Board, Lauren Vance, who she thought would be a good fit just in the last day. She's like, yep, she's in. So, you know, Lucy's likes to involve people. And, you know, she's a no-nonsense in terms of when things need to get done, she's going to get them done. So we're excited to have her leadership within the board.
Are you good at remembering off the top of your head what class year people were? Or does it start?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, if you quiz me, I might get one wrong. But for the most part, I can remember their class years.
I'm actually way better with, like, the 90s and than I am with, like, the last 5 or 8 years.
Yeah.
So the a couple of big pieces of information from the summer from your program. One is the incoming class, and one is the schedule for next year. So do you want to just talk a little bit about the incoming class and what that brings?
Yeah, it's a nice class for us. We have a couple of kids in that class that we think will be have the potential to be contributors for us right away. It's heavier in the attack and in the midfield because we brought in a pretty defense-oriented group the year before, and we had three of those freshmen from last year's class, playing on the field for us this year in starting roles. So this class we have come in, we're going to have a lot of depth in midfield. I think our mids are going to be very young. This year we'll have two or three of those kids who are competing right away, and then we have about four attackers in that group looking to, some of them should be able to get on the field in their first year, and then others will continue as we graduate players to fill spots.
It's pretty interesting that, there's been, off the top of my head, I know this, you probably would know off the top of your head, there have probably not been a lot of years where you've had this many returning starters.
Yeah, we only graduated three starters from last year's class, which is, a little unusual. Usually in senior year, we might have more, four or potentially even five in the 2017 class. So we do have a big number of returning players, which is
three players who scored at least 40 goals come back.
Yeah, it's great for us moving forward, no doubt. I think we have, we'll be a much more experienced team this year than we were last year, though we did lose some phenomenal players and leaders on last year's team.
And then the other piece is the schedule. So the release of the 2019 schedule, the men's and women's schedule released on the same day. And before we get to the women's schedule, let's talk about from the men's schedule. Obviously, the big thing is the return of Bill Tierney to Princeton.
Yeah.
Denver will be here on March 26th, which, everybody can't wait for that game. It's 6.5 months away or 7 months away, actually. But, just talk a little bit about that game and also talk a little bit about Coach Tierney. And, you could possibly think in terms of yourself, it would be the same thing as if you left here and went and took over a program like Denver, mm-hmm. far away from Princeton, and then 10 mm-hmm. years later came back.
Yeah. Well, Bill just was such a legendary coach here, and he's still, I think, just incredibly associated with Princeton lacrosse and all the success that he was able to create here. Really pretty phenomenal when you think about the program that, he inherited when he came in and the level of unprecedented success he was able to achieve. And then, I think his heart was in Princeton for so, so long, and then to switch schools and move out to Denver and to have the level of success that he's had out of Denver. I mean, he's just an extraordinary coach, and clearly he has a way with the young men that he coaches, and he's able to pull the best out of them. And, he knows the game inside and out, and is just really able to get those guys to achieve at the highest level. And I think people want to play for him, right? Huh? I mean, he's fiery. He's passionate. I mean,
he inspires loyalty. I mean, the guys absolutely. Who played for him are like fiercely loyal to him.
And, absolutely.
But, the whole idea of him coming back to 52 yeah. Stadium in Chardon Field, it's going to be a lot of fun, I think.
Yeah, I think it will be.
And it should be a good game. I mean, that's the part you want to like not lose track of, that it's really about the game. But
yeah. And I know Princeton played Denver last two falls ago, I think, when they dedicated Tierney Field. I was down there for that, and it was just great to see. I mean, Bill was so overwhelmed with that honor and emotional, and it was, just great to see him get that honor and to be reunited with the Princeton family and alumni in that way. I think it's going to be just an incredible day when he comes back here.
So let's look at your schedule, and the things that jump out at that are first time ever playing Florida, so it's a trip to Florida over spring break, which there's worse things to do.
Absolutely.
And the first ever regular season meeting, at least, with Stony Brook, mm-hmm. and then all the usual teams that you play. And mm-hmm. I knew you played Maryland regularly, but I didn't realize you played Maryland every regular season since 1993.
Yeah.
And Loyola, Penn State, probably forgetting somebody in there.
Virginia.
But let's talk a little bit about putting together a schedule, what you're looking to do, and then also how the game against Florida and the game against Stony Brook came up.
Yeah, well, it's a very competitive schedule, no doubt. And I think it reflects what, the potential we feel in our team this year. When I played for Carol Kleinfelder when I was an undergraduate, she always brought us over spring break down to PA to play the best teams in the country at that point. And I think that helped define my coaching philosophy that if you want to be the best, you have to play the best, and you have to learn how to beat the best, and you have to measure yourself against the best. So that's been one of my philosophies here at Princeton, to always undertake a challenging schedule. You know, we may not be undefeated or have the best record of any team in the league, or, you know, other teams that we're competing against, but what we're going to gain by playing those teams and, you know, by seeing how we fare and testing ourselves at the highest level is going to help us grow and develop and hopefully get us more ready for Ivy games and Ivy tournament and NCAA tournament. So this year, I'd have to say we certainly have the toughest schedule that I can remember in some time, with the addition of Stony Brook and Florida to the already strong schedule.
Yeah, so like Stony Brook was unbeaten last year up until the quarterfinal against BC.
Yeah.
And they graduated a lot, but I got a sense they're still going to be pretty good. How do you come to actually schedule a game like that? Do you just get on the phone and you say, you want to play us? Or?
Yeah, you get on the phone, or you're down at the convention in November. And, first you look at your schedule and you decide, okay, who do we want to keep and who do we think we might want to put someone in place of. And so, you know, we did that, and we thought that this was a year that it made sense to even increase the intensity of our schedule and continue to build our RPI as high as we possibly can. And so, you know, we looked at schools that were going to challenge us. And, you know, the Florida is almost a no-brainer in spring break. We're playing an evening game down there. I think it'll be
assume you're going down for a few days and practice.
Yeah, we'll go down for a few days, get used to the weather, get some practices in, and then get a game in against them before we come home and have an Ivy game at the end of the week. And then Stony Brook, I mean, they've done so well lately. It made sense to add them. They're on Long Island, which is a great place to play. So they'll be coming to us this year, but then we go out to them next year.
Which can take anywhere from here to Stony Brook, can take anywhere from 2 to 9 hours.
Okay, I'll remember that when we're driving out there.
Oh, the men's team played out there. They play Stony Brook every year, and so this year they're at Stony Brook. Last year they would have been home. So 2 years ago we were going out to Stony Brook, and I left to drive out there, and like I left myself like 6 hours, and I got there about a half hour before the game started.
That's not what I want to hear, Jerry.
Coming back was no problem.
Okay, good enough.
So, you know, do you have to look years down the road at these things, or is this year to year? I mean, I understand some of this is like home and home stuff, but like in football, yeah, the schedule's set for a million years out.
Yeah, no, it's not a million years out, but it's, you know, it's certainly a year and a half out. This November at the convention, I'll finalize the schedule for the following year. And usually when you add teams, I mean, we have some traditional teams like a Penn State, Virginia, Maryland, we're going to try and keep, you know, regardless. And if you look at our schedule, we've had to change dates with a lot of them because it's difficult.
I actually noticed that yeah, it sometimes seems a little bit out of order.
Yes, and it definitely is, with Penn State coming about 3 weeks at least earlier and Maryland coming 2 weeks earlier than usual. So much has to do with conference schedules, and conference schedules tend to change over time, as you know, the Ivy Conference never changes, but other people's conferences seem to change all the time, and then their schedules change. And so you have to be flexible. We're opening up with Temple and then Virginia and Penn State, so we're going to have to be ready right off the bat. And, you know, we'd like to have a few more weeks under our belt before a game like that, but, you know, you're going to play a team when you can play the team.
So lastly, you got some downtime this summer, I'm assuming. I know that you're a beach person. And
Yes.
You still make sure you find time for that?
Yeah. I have a place down in Rehoboth Beach, so I got to spend some time down there. My assistants were down last weekend, so we had a nice little bonding time with the staff, which was a lot of fun.
And now it's move-in, and classes are almost going to start, and then it'll be fall practice, and next thing you know, it'll be that Temple game, and you'll be like,
yep,
where did the time fly by? So
exactly. The years really do. they fly by, no doubt.
So I thought it'd be good to have a little chat now, and then we can do one middle of the fall, end of the fall, whatever you want to do. But then we'll be back weekly as the new season starts next year with the Chris Saylor Show, which we'll stick with that as our name.
Sounds good.
So for Princeton women's coach, Chris Saylor, thanks for being here.
You're welcome, Jerry. It's always fun to chat with you.
I'm Jerry Price. Thank you for being us here, listening to us here on the Chris Saylor Show, and thank you again for your support of Princeton Women's Lacrosse.